Hey, it's Friday, it's cold, I've just had to put pants on for this, and I've got two puppies sitting right next to me, causing a ruckus that want me to go back to bed because it's freezing cold. So you've got today's intro with Matt, Zeke, and Scar. We have, it's almost one of our, I've called it our best podcast. The audio was good, the flow was good, it was interesting, we're talking to a new person. We're talking about cryptocurrency today. I know a little bit about cryptocurrency. James knows absolutely nothing about cryptocurrency. So it'll be a good podcast for people with a beginner to an intermediate level of knowledge about cryptocurrency. It gives you a good background, but it's not completely boring basic stuff. If you know a little bit about crypto, it's worth a listen. So yeah, I'm going to go back to bed, drink Jamu, check out Tiny Sumo podcast. What else do I say? Love it. Bye. Look at Scar Bear.
I'll kiss you on the lips and take you to Italy.
That is a classic.
Shut your mouth. What are you talking to me?
Anyway, no time for nonsense. Gotta get down to business.
We're gonna get straight to the point. We've got no time for nonsense.
No time for messing around. Straight to the point.
No time for fluffing about. Straight to it. Just straight to the point.
Just gonna get on with it.
Better not be honeygiving, bro.
Don't you look at me in that tone of voice. Okay, Zane. Now, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce to you, from the depths of our twisted imaginations, the DCE Pirate Radio Podcast.
It doesn't make any sense.
The Pirate Radio Podcast, my friend.
You're such an idiot.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of DCE Pirate Radio. Today we have Jerry on to talk about cryptocurrency. And that's all the introduction you're going to get, because we always argue about the introduction.
Exactly. It does. It just made me laugh as well. I was thinking about, like, I wonder what weird conversations happen before podcasts start. Like, on Joe Rogan and that, for example. Like, I was just, that little anecdotal conversation going on there. And I was like, I wonder what people talk about before. Maybe this could be another podcast segment one day. The things people talk about before podcasts start.
You mean like Big Brother Uncut?
Yeah. which I never used to watch at 3 o'clock in the morning, because sometimes you'd get to see girls in bikinis, and at 14 years of age, that was
gold.
My salvation.
That was cryptocurrency.
Yeah, mum and dad had gone to bed and I've snuck down to the lounge room to watch Big Brother Uncut.
It's always a bit of a bonus when you get a little bit of a sneaky undress at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well,
welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You've given me a nice little Bitcoin for beginners.
Yes.
I suppose that's my first question. So how frustrated do you get when people say Bitcoin instead of cryptocurrency? Or do you just assume that we're all dumb?
No, I just assume that everyone's dumb. It probably comes from my background, I suppose. We deal with a lot of dumb people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just assume everyone's dumb and then they might surprise you.
Yeah, exactly. You'd rather a good surprise than a bad surprise.
Yeah, that's right. But I suppose for people that don't know a lot about cryptocurrency, they just know about Bitcoin. So, yeah, if people refer to it as Bitcoin, then, you know, they could be educated from there. So it's not a bad thing.
Well, I know that it's funny, because like I was trying to do our Facebook post today to kind of promote we've got the podcast and get some questions.
Yeah.
And I was typing cryptocurrency into Facebook and it got the little red squiggly line underneath it.
Yeah.
It told me I'd spelled it wrong, which I assumed I'd spelled it wrong because I'm a moron. But no, it doesn't even show up in spell check yet.
No.
So
they try and break it into two words, which is not correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then I was right and Facebook was wrong.
Yeah.
Once again.
Yeah.
Take that.
Mark Zuckerberg, he's just like completely dumb.
So, doesn't like it.
Like I said, you just assume it.
It's not like Mark dumb. Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
So I don't want to call our listeners dumb. So I'll let James do it.
your listeners.
Can you give us a quick breakdown of what cryptocurrency is, how it relates to Bitcoin, etc., straight from the expert?
Oh, okay. You've put me under the thumb now, calling me an expert, but...
What's the first page of the Bitcoin book? Introduction.
Yeah, that's right. Intro. What is Bitcoin? But I think when you talk about Bitcoin, though, like, it's probably easier to talk about what blockchain is first and to be able to get sort of a bit of an understanding about what that is. So maybe I can start with that. So Basically, there's cryptocurrencies are based on the blockchain and other distributed ledger technologies. There's different technologies that cryptocurrencies are based on. But for ease of description, I suppose, we'll talk about blockchain. So really, it's basically just a distributed public ledger. So everybody keeps
a record. Smaller words, please.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's dumb that right down.
You've dumbed it from a 10 to a 5. I want a 2.
Let's go a 1.
Okay.
All right. So when I was in primary school, I don't know about you guys, big thing with marbles, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So
they took them away because we were
This has come up at least 4 times in conversation in the last 2 weeks.
Really?
Marbles at school.
Yeah. Hit the teacher in the back of the head when they're writing on the whiteboard. And so,
I don't know what you're talking about.
If that wasn't me. If you talk about the financial model, I suppose, or the fiat currency as it is now, like general, like Australian dollar, US dollar, and the euro.
Money in general.
Yeah. So we keep our money generally in the bank.
Yeah.
So if you relate that then back to the marble analogy, say we're in class, everyone's got marbles or whatever, and to store your marbles, you trust 3 or 4 people, being the big 4 banks.
Yeah.
You trust 4 people to look after your marbles for you. And for the absolute pleasure of being able to access your money, the bank charges you fees.
Yeah. A couple
of
marbles.
Yeah. So, like, Matt's got some marbles in his bank. James has got some in his. I'll have some in mine. But let's say you want to access it, you need to pay the fee in the marbles.
Yeah.
But Matt, because he's, like, just a general troublemaker, can't run a bank to save his life.
Yeah.
So he ends up losing all of your marbles. And you're not going to get them back. Whereas a blockchain or a distributed ledger, everybody keeps their own marbles.
Yeah.
And everybody just keeps a record of who has what. So then, say if I want to like swap some marbles with you or give you some marbles, then I can just give you what marbles I have in my bank.
Yeah.
And everybody keeps a record then of that transaction. So everybody knows then exactly, like say you got 2 marbles from me, they just add 2 marbles to your ledger, take 2 marbles off of mine.
Yeah.
The beauty with cryptocurrency, I suppose, is that the technology allows it that you can do that without ever really knowing who the other person is.
Yeah.
And you can do that in a way that if I don't have the marbles to give you, but I try to change the ledger in some way, then other people within the class are going to go, hang on, Jerry's trying to rip off Matt. He doesn't have those marbles, so then that transaction doesn't go ahead. So I hope that makes sense.
Yes. So cryptocurrency is your mum bought you a bum bag, and then you can share your, like, you're in control of your own marbles.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I should explain myself. But then it's something, the records, I suppose, is the key part, is that everyone's keeping track of it. Like that, it's the transaction though, so it's not your name, my name.
No.
It's something transferred here.
Yeah, so everybody's got a public wallet address, like a public key.
Yeah.
So you would never, unless you know specifically that James has got, is the holder of that wallet.
Yeah.
All you have is like a string of letters and
code
numbers, basically, that will identify that particular wallet.
So what is the benefit of, so that, what's the benefit of doing it that, of having that anonymity?
Well, it depends. I suppose, you know, there's stories of Bitcoin being used originally on the darknet and people buying drugs or, you know, whatever. But I suppose that, and the anonymity really, unless you need it for doing dodgy stuff.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
People do dodgy stuff on with cryptocurrencies, but really it's so that people don't, like, I don't necessarily want people to know how much I've got in my wallet or, you know, like, it's like, you don't want people to look at your bank statement. So yeah, okay. It's the same sort of thing, I suppose.
The people I speak to is a lot of it's the control over their own money.
Exactly. So your own bank.
The example is they use Greece as an example. Whereas, you know, if you were in Greece and the fiat currency, using the word right?
Yeah.
Money isn't worth anything anymore.
Yeah.
The bank's shut. I think the banks there were deciding how much money you could take out of your own bank account per day and putting limits on it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you had a globally traded coin.
Currency. Yeah.
It's irrelevant. It's,
yeah.
The state has no control over that currency.
I think a part of what was taking me a little while to get my head around that is if you look at what money actually is, isn't it like it's a promise from the crown that worth this much gold or something?
Well, it's not backed by gold anymore.
It used to be
backed by physical things.
Yeah.
Because that's always been we're jumping a couple questions ahead, but that's been my funny thing with when people were such naysayers about cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And I don't own any cryptocurrency, so I've got no skin in the game. But
yeah.
That it was always, you know, that's another thing that's dodgy. For me, I'm like, well, you've got one person over here who's got a suit and a tie, and you trust him with his made-up story, but then you've got this other thing over here, which, again, still, it's just something someone made up. It's only worth the promise that everyone attributes to it.
Exactly.
But how can you say that one – it's the same process.
Yeah.
How can you say one's valid and the other one's not?
Yeah.
Other than society puts more stock in the other one at the
Mum
moment.
Mum and Dad have said that the bank is safe and that, the internet isn't, so we'll go with that, basically.
Yeah, that's old thinking, really. Yeah. And you're talking about Greece before, and I think the perfect example is, like, with Zimbabwe and hyperinflation over there. You know, like, I remember going to Zimbabwe in 2001, and I think at that stage it was, like, 700 Zim dollars to every one US dollar.
Yeah.
And like ridiculous, and it got like thousands of times worse than that. Following that, so now there's a company called KuvaCash that are using a cryptocurrency called Dash or digital cash to basically solve the hyperinflation problem in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
So they're putting control back into the hands of the Zimbabwean population to be able to control their own
currency.
Yeah.
The issue that they have is that, you know, like they've had so many collapses in the financial model in Zimbabwe, and they're using US dollars predominantly there now, but for the amount of money that there is supposedly in the country, there's not the actual physical US dollar notes.
Yeah. It's just pieces of paper.
Exactly. And people often will like line up for hours to get physical cash, but then they get to the front of the line and the bank's out of cash, so then that, like, they haven't got any cash to buy the essentials or whatever. Whereas now, like, KuvaCash are coming up with a solution that all their banking can be done with Dash through mobile phones, basically, and mobile banks really using cryptocurrency. So that's a pretty cool project that's going on to solve that exact problem.
Yeah. Because it's in the 32nd, I don't understand Zimbabwe, that they just basically kept printing money, didn't they? Like, to try and solve the inflation. Yeah. Whereas,
which is never going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you're just feeding the beast.
Yeah. You know? And that's always the main people I speak to that really like into cryptocurrency. That's their biggest, well, they're getting their tinfoil hats on.
Yeah.
That's their conspiracy, or that's their investment safety net side of cryptocurrency is that, you know, if things did spiral out of control, and we're in Australia, things look pretty good at the moment, but you never know. Look at the banking crisis in America. Shit can just go down.
Yeah.
But that it's their contingency or their control over their own.
Exactly.
Because it's one of the keys with cryptocurrency. I imagine all the different ones. So my knowledge of cryptocurrency and Bitcoin is probably interchangeable.
Yeah.
Because I imagine the different coins all have their own rules and have their own stuff now. I imagine there's some dodgy ones.
Yeah.
But my understanding of it was that no one controls the inflation. You couldn't inflate it. Like a computer program or an algorithm creates a new coin based on effort that goes into it, and there's no real way to manipulate that process other than put more effort in.
Yeah, generally speaking, yeah. Really. So that's the case for Bitcoin. So yeah. Miners will mine Bitcoin transactions. Basically, they're keeping the whole system secure. And as a reward for that, then they're paid in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
But there's like 1,600 different cryptocurrencies. And like you said, like every one has a different use case, and whether it be as a currency or as like a way to conduct transactions or be able to access specific technology or decentralized applications. Everyone's different.
Yeah. Would you like to ask a question? I'm not this conversation.
You are 8 steps further down the track than me. I'm still trying to get my little brain around.
I've done a bit of, for someone who doesn't have any cryptocurrency, done a little bit of research because one of my good friends is really into it.
Yeah.
And I just don't have the passion or the time to invest in it.
Yeah.
Because it seems like the type of thing that, and that's one of the questions I was going to ask you is it seems very linked to social media and it's very volatile.
Yeah.
Where something can go trending. And I've seen quite a few people make a bit of money off of Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I'm not sure they know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I think they were just lucky and just gambling and they just, and like, I like poker. Poker's my example for a lot of things is there's a reason that the same 5 people are the best poker players in the world.
Exactly.
You can minimize the risk and you can narrow it down so that you're an educated guess, but you can never eliminate the element of chance.
No.
And for the same reason, I've played poker with people and I've been beaten by idiots before. it can happen. So it always worries me if I was going to invest my money and time into it, I would need to care more to keep an eye on it. And it seems like a full on, to do it properly, it seems like a lot of time and effort watching spreadsheets and graphs.
It's a massive amount of time. I mean, I think I said to you when we met up last time that I can be spending 16 hours a day working on crypto and I still don't get what I should be getting done.
Yeah.
Mm. And, I've got alerts set up on my phone and a lot of the time I don't even get to read them. I'm getting hundreds of alerts a day and just to try and stay on top of the market, what the sentiment is. And like you said, a lot of it is fueled by social media.
Yeah.
The sentiment side of things especially. And there's always, like rumors about what's happening with crypto or with specific currencies. And, you might see some, sort of positive sentiment and then the price would go up. And it's quite obvious, Yeah, you definitely do need to stay on top of it. And, it is very time consuming. And like you said, just a lot of research to minimize your risk. And I suppose, that's sort of how I got started and progressed, I suppose, into the cryptocurrency space a lot more because I put that time in to begin with. And a lot of people in 2017, you just had to throw your fiat in and you generally would have made money. It was such a good year, especially the second half of the year. But 2018 is definitely a much harder year to try and, make some gains, and you definitely need to put that time in to be able to do it. So.
Well, I like it. Let's just bash Facebook again. About earlier this year when it was on every TV show.
Yep.
So by the time it's made it to the mainstream media, it's a bit late.
Yeah.
So I likened it to, when your parents got on Facebook, it's time to get off Facebook.
Yeah.
That seemed to have hit that peak earlier in the year. And then it seemed like a lot of people got the hand slapped or they got their fingers burned.
Yeah.
And they've jumped out. And it seems to have normalized now a little bit more.
Yeah.
At a reasonable level where, some of the less educated people aren't playing around in there as much anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. I think a lot of people entered the market sort of December, January when it was in the news. Everybody was talking about it. People were making money. And, unfortunately for those people, it was at the top of the market at that stage. Like Bitcoin was around $20,000 per Bitcoin, and we're back down to, you know, like 6.5. I haven't even looked at the market today, but around 6.5 or whatever for a Bitcoin. So, you know, like those people got wrecked because they just got in at the wrong time.
Well, they got in when the TV said to get in.
That's the time to get out.
Yeah, exactly. There's a saying, Todd always goes on about it, that it's like, but buy when others are in fear and sell when others are confident. Like something along, it's like an old like proverb, but it's basically like when everyone is confident, don't be confident. And when nobody is confident, be confident.
Exactly. And it's the same with every sort of investment, I suppose. You know, with the property boom.
I was going to say it's something to do with. In fact, while you talk, I'm going to find that because it's going to annoy me for the rest of this.
I think it was a Warren Buffett.
That quote. Sounds like
So, you need to sort of back yourself, I suppose, and that's where that research comes in. You need to back yourself when other people are a bit doom and gloom, and you know, people are losing money and talking about a double bursting and all the rest of it, and you know. That might be the bottom. So that's the time to get in and buy your cheap Bitcoin and then wait for hype to start building. We might see December, January 2017, 2018 happening again. And then next thing you know, your Bitcoin's back up to 20 grand and, you know, people are talking about Bitcoin again and you sell it.
Yeah.
Wait for the next sort of drop.
One of the guys that I know that's got some. Because I remember talking about it and when it was getting up to maybe the 15 grand mark and he was like, oh, I reckon I'm going to sell something. And I was like, oh, again, haven't got any – I've got no vested interest. I'm like, yeah, like sounds good. Like whatever, but, you know, the way it's going, wouldn't you let it keep going? He's like, oh, I'll keep some of it and see what it does.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got it when it was worth nothing effectively and he was going to get 15, 20 grand for selling off some of his Bitcoin.
Yeah.
He was like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
And gains are gains. Bank your gains while you can, you know?
Do you pay tax? Do you pay income tax on?
Yeah, so I'm no expert on the tax side of things, but generally the stance of the ATO at the moment, and Matt might be able to tell me more about this, but.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Is every trade is a capital gains tax event. So you need to keep a record of every single trade that you make.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there's different classes of whether you're a trader or whether you're an investor. I don't necessarily understand that sort of thing. Yeah. I keep a record of my trades. And
so do you have, when it comes up tax time, do you go in and you say, I've earned $50,000 working for my 9-to-5 job this year, and I've also got a portfolio of Bitcoin that was worth $1,000, which is now worth $100,000. And they take, like, I don't understand how it works, Mr. Taxman.
I use an accountant like everyone else.
Be fearful when others are greedy and be greedy when others are fearful.
Exactly.
I feel much better now that I have said that. Thank you, Mr. Buffett.
Yes. Yeah. So taxes are, you just need to keep records and, you know, I'll give it to my accountant when it comes that time. They can sort it out.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Much smarter people than me. I'll keep looking at crypto.
Yeah. I'll keep reading spreadsheets and, well, I suppose assessing risk is probably the easiest way to describe what you do.
Yeah, massively. So, I do a little bit of trading. I would like to do more, but generally I'm more of a ICO guy. So just to explain that, ICO
I was about to ask.
is a initial coin offering. So
that's right. I remember you telling me.
So if you look at like when a company goes public and lists on the stock exchange, they'll do an initial public offering, and ICOs or initial coin offerings are very similar. However, you're not necessarily getting a share in the company. You are buying tokens or coins then to be able to keep in your wallet and, you know, depending on what the project is, access the technology that they're building. And by buying that as a speculator, I wouldn't call it investing, I'd call it speculating, you're basically like making a call that value of that token or the coin is going to increase over time. And how does something increase? That's by demand. So the product really that they're building, you're speculating that that is going to have some sort of adoption. So therefore that adoption will drive the demand for that token and the value will go up. So I'm an ICO guy. I do the analysis on people that are, or projects that are going to be running an ICO. Look at a number of things to try and minimize that risk. You're never going to completely remove it because crypto is a volatile thing. And never invest more than what you can afford to lose, basically. So,
with control comes responsibility. I'm going to quote Spider-Man. What is it? Power becomes great responsibility.
Great power comes great responsibility.
I think people forget about that. Is, you know, the man's out of it and I've got control over this. And I'm like, you might be an idiot.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of
there's a reason that everybody goes to the bank to do things. It's because they don't know what they're doing. And allegedly the bank does.
Well, it's like, I always use this analogy. I love going to Thailand. I love going to
Bali.
Because, hey, you walk in front of traffic, you get hit by a car, your problem. Whereas here, there's much more of a culture of, you know, we need to make sure there's three stop signs. There was three people holding your hand. And it's like, well, sometimes you should just look before you cross the road.
Yeah.
And it seems to be, you know, cryptocurrency, that type of, it's the same vein. Is you're in complete control of your own destiny. And if you get burned, that's
your fault. Yeah.
That's right. And you need to really take responsibility for that control.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to own it, then you're going to get wrecked.
Yeah.
I always say to people, like, I'm no expert. I'm just a dude that has, like, done some research in relation to this. I'm not by any means a financial advisor. I have, you know, a limited knowledge in that field, but I know how to minimize risk and I'll do the research and it'll give you a good point to start from, but then you need to go away and do your own research. Don't rely on what I tell people. Just the way that when other people tell me stuff, I don't rely on that. I'll go and do my own.
It's not gospel. It's information to fuel your knowledge of the world. And you should be using that in conjunction with everything else.
To make your decisions,
Yeah. It's a good jumping off point. That's what I think is, like, it gives you some reference to be able to then go, that's a good thought. Like, I hadn't thought of that sort of thing. And then you can do some more research in that field.
So when you say that the people are developing technologies, my limited understanding was Bitcoin is effectively each Bitcoin is an algorithm or it's a formula that can't be recreated effectively. Yeah. So is that in itself the technology or are the companies developing other, could you, not in the way that a business would float on the share market, but if you were developing some new type of technology, could you then, it's like almost crowdsourcing to a degree. So you say like, hey, we don't like the way this works. We're going to invent this technology that does this thing, and to buy a share of it, we're going to, like, you know, it's going to be called fucking laser coins.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you look at that and be like, okay, they're developing a laser that does, you know, something, there is potential for that. And so you're effectively buying a share in that company. And if all of a sudden that laser becomes the new thing that they use in guns or whatever, the value of that share will increase. So from a complete layman's point of view, it's the same core concept, but with a different
currency. Exactly. So, and the technology could be anything. It might be a decentralized application to access, like an Airbnb, but on the blockchain. You're doing like travel bookings on the blockchain, or like an online travel agency. And so you then need to hold tokens to conduct transactions on there, whether it be using those tokens then to pay for your accommodation or flights or whatever. You might have people on there that are like online travel agents that are able to provide advice and deals and all the rest of it. And in return for them doing so, then they might get a cut of
your
whatever currency, your purchase is, as a reward for their work on the platform. Or you know, there's like a number of different solar companies, like Power Ledger is an Australian company that are doing like peer-to-peer electricity transfers. So to be able to, you know, you get paid for your electricity in the Power Ledger token, and people, you know, buy the electricity using that. There's so
that's generally a thing.
Sorry?
Is that already a thing?
It is, yeah.
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 Interesting.
Are there... So we've had this chat amongst ourselves. I don't know if we've spoken about it on the podcast, but a lot of big companies fail. And there's this theory that creative people create companies, organized people run companies.
Yep.
And when the organized people who come in that are necessary to keep it going, the creative people get bored and leave. And then when the next thing comes along, there's no creative people to create.
Yeah.
Is there any large companies that are getting into the cryptocurrency market well? Like I've seen Hungry Jack's had a coin. I've seen a few people do it that it seems marketing or promote. It doesn't seem like they quite understand or are doing it properly. They're doing it to cash in on marketing and buzz more than anything. But I could never understand why one of the big banks, because they seem to be against it.
Yeah.
Why they didn't just create their own and monopolize a new market. And that's something that I could never understand. Is there anyone that is trying to do that?
The banks are. Yeah. The banks are, for sure. I don't know a real lot in relation to that, but, you know, Facebook's investigating.
Bloody Facebook.
Yeah.
Again.
Zuckerberg.
Sorry, Zuckerberg.
I wonder why our engagement's so low on Facebook.
It's been getting better, I thought.
Yeah, well,
you do like
not after today.
you're on the blacklist in the Facebook headquarters.
It's like United Nations, Matt and James, that's the list. We don't like them.
Anything's possible if you tell lies.
I asked you a question and then I derailed it with nonsense.
But that's
the podcast. You've seen the one, you know what you're
doing. I'm expecting that. I come here, I actually didn't think that the discussion about blockchain and cryptocurrencies would last this long.
Yeah. I am genuine. Like, it's one of those things where I've got a very limited attention span, but when I'm listening, like, I find this more interesting than most of the stuff Matt tries to talk to me about. So
yeah, but I'd rather listen generally to- rubbish.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. I'd rather listen to you talk about something I don't really understand than listen to Matt talk about something I don't really understand.
When I'm paraphrasing stuff I don't understand.
Yeah, either. Exactly.
Well, at least he's not drunk today, though.
Yet. Early, and we've got one more podcast to do.
I fully intend on getting some sort of pub lunch.
Yeah.
Some sort of like lunch type meal with alcohol. Anyway, what my next question was: Bitcoin the first cryptocurrency?
There's possibly some conjecture over that, but it was the first one that's made it really.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. So,
and Matt had already answered this question for me, but so that we don't know who invented Bitcoin.
No, well, he's known as Satoshi Nakamoto, but nobody knows who Satoshi Nakamoto is. There's a number of theories, I suppose, about who he is, whether he's a person or just a group of cypherpunks that have all gotten together and created Bitcoin. Identity unknown. They did think that they had identified who he was, and he just happened to be a Japanese guy called Satoshi Nakamoto, lived around the corner from one of the very early adopters of Bitcoin. So it wasn't him in the end, but,
or was it?
Maybe it was.
I saw him on the news because they almost ruined his life, didn't they?
Yeah.
They like flooded his house with news cameras.
Yeah. He's a very, he looks like, he could have possibly.
He looks like the sort of person.
He definitely looks Japanese.
Yeah.
He looks like the sort of person that would invent a currency.
Can we deep dive into a few of these conspiracy theories? Because this is my, I like this about cryptocurrency much more than I like cryptocurrency itself. The whole mystery of who it was and, you know, the nostalgia or the romanticizing of what was most probably someone who was mucking around and came up with something and had no idea how big it was going to get.
He sounds like a villain in a Mission Impossible movie, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Satoshi Nakamoto.
Or the hero.
Ooh.
Yeah. Pro twist.
Or, someone from Austin Powers. Domo arigato, Mr. Roboto. That's all I can think of.
The one, I know some people think it's Elon Musk. And to me, that sounds silly.
Yeah.
Did you just say the first person you know that's smart and does computers? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Think about it a little bit more.
As an idiot. Yeah. When you said it to me, I was like, well, he solved that. Smart guy that does computers.
Elon Musk does everything, so why not? Let's just say it's Elon.
Yeah, is he the villain of the story or is he the good guy? Because everyone always thinks, like, the villain doesn't come out and go, hello, I'm Dr. Evil.
No.
Well, Dr. Evil does.
Yeah, well, he's an idiot. That's why it didn't work. But is anyone like, oh, Elon Musk is going to save the world? I'm like, just sounds like a dude.
Yeah.
Just sounds like a dude.
Yeah. I think I suppose he had a theory about peer-to-peer transactions and, you know, having like a trustless sort of financial model. And he just was smart enough to put the algorithms together and develop the technology to be able to do it. And then distributed, I think, 1 million Bitcoins first went out and, for next to nothing, really, and look where we are now. So, old Satoshi, if he's still alive, yeah.
There's some funny stories. I've heard a couple of. I heard someone bought a pizza,
yes,
with Bitcoin that would have been worth what 300 million or 20 million something crazy today.
Yeah,
and there was a guy that took his hard drive to the dump.
Yes,
yeah,
that's probably my favorite.
Yeah,
and do you know why he did that?
Same reason why Jim's outside.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. So never, ever listen to your missus. That's my advice right now. No, that guy, he really was one of the early adopters of Bitcoin, and he was mining, just using his computer in his house. I think he had like 75,000 Bitcoin or something like that. I do have some notes here.
Yeah, carry the one.
Yeah, yeah. So
you don't know how to speak Spanish.
So he had a lot of Bitcoin and, not 75,000, 7,500 Bitcoin. Yeah. His missus got upset with all the noise that the mining rig was making. So she's like, get rid of that stupid mining rig. And the dickhead listened to her and threw it down in a dump. So now, think about December last year. There's 7,500 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Around $20,000 each was worth about, $150 million.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they're still together, but I'm pretty sure we'd be pretty pissed off with these.
But she left because he's broke.
Yeah. You should have kept that mining rig. But he's like, I don't know whether he's done it. He was talking about trying to dig up the dump and.
Well, how much would it cost to buy a dump? Surely less than $150 million.
You'd think so.
You pay.
I don't know. Bring out the Wingfield dump. Let's do it now.
Bring them up. Because if you work out, you buy the dump, you hire 50 people, pay them $15 an hour.
Yeah.
You'd have to be getting quite a lot of time. I'm not great at maths, but it sounds like that would be a very good financial investment, assuming you can find it.
It would be a horrible job trying to find it, though.
Well, that's why I'm picking other people to do it. I'm going to hire people to step around that dump.
But it would take forever, man. Imagine that. Like, you wouldn't want to use a digger or anything, because imagine, the digger goes in and you end up putting a blade through the
hard drive.
And then there goes your Bitcoin. You're not going to recover them anyway, are you? And then you're the proud owner of a dump, I suppose. But
that is a question for you, why young Jamie does the maths.
Mm-hmm.
The physical wallet and the opposite of physical wallet.
Digital
wallet. That's the part that always confuses the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Because essentially it is just a string of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So you just need, it's like a long password.
Yeah.
So you need to store that somewhere. So you could either store that electronically in someone else's servers, or you could store that on your own physical hard drive.
Yeah.
And if you lose that, it's gone. That's the flip side of it not being linked to you in any way.
Yeah.
Is anyone who has that private key or that information, it's their money now.
Yeah.
Is that basically it?
In a nutshell, I suppose. Yeah. So, security is probably the biggest risk in cryptocurrency. And there's a number of different ways to store them, and like wallet, as far as wallets go, and I suppose the gold standard would be a cold storage wallet offline.
Yeah. I know people put, they download the hard drive ones with locks on them and basically put them in a physical safe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've heard people then physically write down the number as well and store that in a separate location as a secondary backup.
I wouldn't. So the number is the Bitcoin is that code?
No, so you have in your wallet, you have each wallet has a public key, which I'll give. Say if you were going to transfer me some Bitcoin or some cryptocurrency, you can donate Bitcoin to me if you want. But
No worries. Show me where to find it. Give me a shovel, I'll go find it. That's how this works, right? Mining.
But I'll give you my
public key.
And then you could use that public key then to conduct that transaction. Private keys, though, are really just access for you privately to your wallet, and you never want to give that out to anyone.
The same as everything.
What about your mum?
Depends how much you trust your mum.
Okay.
I noticed that you say...
thanks for sending me your private key. I'm just going to send it on your Facebook.
Share. Thank you for your key. I've shared it.
Yeah.
That should get you some money.
Yeah.
Sorry, mum.
But, so in my instance, I use a hardware wallet. So basically, like in layman's terms, it's like a USB that you plug into your computer. You access it with a code, like a digit code. Then you conduct transactions through that, and you can only confirm the transactions on the actual ledger wallet.
Yeah.
On the hardware device. But like if I was to lose that, the chances of somebody being able to access that to be able to guess that code, I think it's like a 8-digit code to get in there. Is low. People need to know what it is to begin with, like what the actual device is. But also, if I was to lose it, then I can just get another hardware wallet. I've got a 24-word seed phrase that I can then punch into that new ledger wallet, and it will just have all of my cryptocurrencies in there.
How does that work? So is it stored
in the cloud?
No.
Because I think it's like if it's offline, and you lose that offline device, how the hell do you get it onto another
device?
Because it gives you the access into your wallet online.
Cool. So there is a portion, it exists online.
Yeah.
And you're partitioning almost like a password or access to it offline.
Yeah, exactly.
So you could basically, I forgot my password.
Yeah.
What's your dog's name? More complicated.
Much more complicated.
And then it goes,
with a capital letter and a number.
Here's your offline one again. So that was my biggest worry with it.
Yeah.
Is I'd lose and break things.
Yeah.
So I was concerned about having $500,000, $6 on a physical, on a physical thing. Cause I'm like, that'll be gone. Yeah. That'll be gone in 6 weeks. I know what I'm like.
Yeah. I'm paranoid too. I have my keys printed out in three separate locations.
Yeah.
And in like one partial one
there.
And then you need to bring all three of them together to be able to put it together to access the actual wallet. Plus then in a safety deposit box.
Yeah.
So that if the house ever burnt down of somebody that holds a partial private key or the seed phrase that, I've still got another backup there. So it's like a lot of backup.
Yeah. And that's the other problem. I'm not the type of person that does that either. Basically, I'm a risky person. So that's what puts me off of doing it. Cause the things don't you buy need crypto. To do. I'm like, I shouldn't do it. We do accept crypto on our website though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Right. No one's paid with it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Funnily enough.
Right.
I found some way to do it. I was doing stuff on the website. I'm no expert on website design. I use WordPress, so that shows you my level of knowledge. But I found an app that does it, basically. Yeah, right. So I had to sign up for an online wallet because I didn't care. If someone buys $50 worth of our merchandise and I screw it up at the end of the day, it's not we're not dealing with the same numbers here.
And decimal points way further down.
And the day that someone pays in crypto on our website is the day that I'll relearn it.
Yeah.
Transfer it straight out of that account back to to money.
Yeah.
But,
on team mum and dad.
Back to team mum. Now, I'm an idiot. I know I'm an idiot. I'm staying lame.
Yeah.
But it's been funny how many people, I've had about two or three people contact me. They didn't buy anything, so I can't believe you accept cryptocurrency on your website. Like, that shows you guys are a super smart and adoptive.
Yeah, right.
Business. And I'm like, I was just bored writing something on the website one day, and I decided to go down a rabbit hole, so I didn't have to write up the article that I had to do. I don't really know what I'm talking about.
You're just easily distracted.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm waiting for that one day when I get that 0.00001 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because I think can't remember how I set it up. I reckon it accepts Bitcoin and two others of the two other top ones at the time.
Right.
So I wouldn't know what to do with them. You're going to get a phone call if anyone ever pays.
Yeah. Give me a ring, mate.
Yeah.
Send me a private key.
Yeah.
Okay.
On Facebook.
Yeah. Just a public post would be fine.
The state's waste companies are worth $1 billion, and there are about 13 waste sites around South Australia.
$1 billion.
But is that total budget in terms of employees?
Honestly, didn't read that far into it.
Because you're talking about 70-80 mil just per site then.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's probably not that worth it.
Mm.
But then you could sell it afterwards. You've got two assets worth $150 million. It's an investment.
Hello.
See, this is why I shouldn't get into cryptocurrency.
So Matt's the proud owner of the Wingfield dump.
Yeah, oh, God. Classic.
Oh.
Excuse me.
How did you... I love the social media aspect of it. I love idiots arguing.
Yeah.
And I saw...
We have a podcast.
I saw so many people. Again, back when Bitcoin or when crypto spiked,
yeah,
it made it to the mainstream level.
Mm.
There's so many people poo pooing it,
yep,
and doing all these posts from my perspective, I'm like, why do you care?
Yeah,
what's it to you if it's not your thing and you don't do it?
Yeah,
why do you care
that other people
that it's
doing
dropped?
It?
And also, I know you don't know anything about. I know you well enough to know that you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's social media in general, I suppose. But do you see a lot? Do you think it's more in this world that people are just kind of yelling?
Yeah, absolutely. There's exchanges that have troll boxes that people just go in there and just bag the shit out of each other and trolling each other. It's very entertaining. It can distract you from trading.
Yeah.
But there definitely is. And as far as the Bitcoin thing goes, those people, when it was 20 grand, were probably thinking about buying, and then, they never ended up making the jump, and now it's down at 6 or 7 grand. And
they're on the back.
Yeah,
good job, me, for being too scared to jump in.
Yeah. I'm so smart when really you actually didn't jump. But, I have more respect for people that jumped in at 20 grand than the people that are bagging people now because they did, and it's 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I suppose they're people that just like to see people fail.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people are just miserable.
Yeah, that's right. So why
engage them?
Yeah, forget the haters. There's always going to be haters. So, forget about them.
I'm a big fan of, mucking around and giving people shit. The mate's ribbing.
Yeah.
But you can always tell the difference between someone genuinely wishing the best for you.
Yeah.
And then drilling you to your face versus someone who's just bitter or sad or upset. They're trying to drag you down to make yourself feel better opposed to basically just keeping you humble.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And like I said, 2017, people were making money just by
buying
having it there, if you bought it at the right time and, if people give me shit about it, it's like, well, I put a couple hundred bucks in, I was up a lot,
Yeah.
And
that a lot has halved to half of a lot, but it's still a lot.
Yeah.
And it's it's a lot more than what $400 or whatever, whatever I originally put in was. So I'm still ahead. Yeah. And at the end of the day, $400, who gives a shit if you lose $400? You know, 12 months time, it could be that $400 could have.
I've lost more than that at the casino, if I'm being honest.
Well, I've spent more on piss on a night out.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be in it to win it and minimise risk and see how you go. Like, if you don't have crack, you never know, do you?
What? I don't want you to give away all your finances. But when you say comfortable, are we talking about I'm making a living wage or are we talking about I own an island?
No island.
No island, but maybe a Ferrari?
No, well, I mean, I'm quite comfortable talking about it, I suppose, because it's a reasonably good story, really.
We like good stories.
Yeah, I originally put in literally $400.
Yeah.
And I spent 2 weeks of annual leave trading and turned that then into $4,500. $4.5 billion. I bought a few dumps out of that. Got a little overconfident with trading and lost a little bit and then rethought my strategy, started looking at the ICOs.
Yeah.
And made some reasonable money off of ICOs. So, you know, that $400 turned into like a five figure amount.
Yeah.
Which five figures.
Yeah.
And you know, it's probably, from that five figure amount down to just about 60% of what I was at the highest anyway.
Yeah.
Projections over the next 12 months, you know, I made some reasonably good investments that hopefully, you know, like the goal will be down the track that I pull out profits and buy a house.
Yeah.
You know, so, it's not an island, but
it's potentially
what most people spend their entire life paying for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you might be able to do in the space of hopefully less than 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and on top of that, I suppose, because I had some good runs on the board and I was doing a bit of work for a local group that, invested to ICOs and we got some good runs for them and saved them some money. Identified some scams along the way.
Yeah.
Saved them some money. So I've continued on with that for a number of other groups. So I'm making a little bit of money doing that stuff as well.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, that's sort of rolled into other stuff with people that are starting their ICOs and doing projects. And, making some more money out of that. And then, you know, the snowball is just starting to roll. So the plan will be hopefully, you know, that 12 months down the track, then maybe I could be doing it full time.
So tell us a bit more about that. So you've got your own, I suppose, play on the side. You've got skin in the game, you're doing your own thing.
Yeah.
But then you've got almost a job out of it.
Yeah.
How does that work? So you... What do you have? Let you explain instead of me trying to bastardize.
Like I said, I started with one group doing reviews and it literally was just, I suppose in my normal job, I'm very analytical and have to be very organized and look at all the facts and I like to write stuff down. So I started off just doing that for myself. Any ICO I was looking at, I'd look at all the aspects that I consider would make a good project to invest in.
Yeah.
Contribute towards and we don't invest. And then just go through and explain it in layman's terms as to why it was good or why it was bad. What are the red flags? What are the green lights? What I liked and what I didn't like. And then come to a conclusion at the end after putting all those things through a matrix on a rating scale that I'd sort of formulated myself.
Yeah.
And then I could say whether I was comfortable in contributing myself.
Yeah.
And those documents then I was just putting out to the group and, demand sort of increased over time for that. And, I started writing for some other groups.
Yeah.
So I've got four or five groups now that I write for doing that sort of stuff. And then, I suppose my name got out there a little bit. You know, I put some stuff up on LinkedIn about what I was doing, and people just started contacting me saying, can you have a look at this white paper? Or like, white papers are like business plans for cryptocurrencies. So can you have a look at this white paper? What do you think of it? Or we've got this project. Let me know what you think. Because I suppose as part of those groups, like, people decide to invest, but like contribute. And so projects come to me wanting to look at it and say, yes, it's a good thing, and then put it out to my group. So generally I'll look at their white papers then and say, well, like, it's a good concept, but you got these red flags that, you know, like, the layman off the street might look at it and see that it's red flags, but if you fix these things, they're not actually red flags anymore.
Like, obviously you can't give a specific example of a, like, what would an example of, like, in my head, I'm going straight back to laser beams, and it's like I'm coming to you with a white paper that's saying I'm going to create something that is like almost like it's too far out of the realms of possibility. You're going to say, well, nah, that you can't fucking do that. But then there's so many things. You know, we laugh about it now, but, you know, in school when your teacher would be like, you've got to learn how to do this because you're not going to carry a calculator around in your pocket for the rest of your life. And guess what? We all do.
That's why you get paid $40,000 a year, sir.
Yeah. So is that the sort of stuff? Because I imagine that's all, like, publicly available information. If I wanted to contribute to a business and I looked at it and I, you know, it's like, we're going to create this device that's going to do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
You then look at it and say, okay, there's obviously a need for it, so why would you bother making it otherwise? Here are probably the reasons why it hasn't already been done. So you sort of, is that what you're doing, bridging that gap?
Yeah, in a way, I suppose. Like, well, first and foremost, I look at whether there's an actual use case for the blockchain. Like, do they need the blockchain, or can they do it off-chain using whatever technology is available? Not on the blockchain, or, you know, another distributed ledger technology. If they do need the blockchain, then is it a use case that people are going to adopt? And have they actually developed anything yet? Like, I'll never contribute to anything that is just a white paper alone and they haven't actually built anything. I want to see that they've got a prototype. ICOs with the sort of popularity of them last year, a lot of projects have just seen it as a money grab and a way to quickly get money, and whether they're actual exit scams, just trying to get money and run.
Pump and dump.
Yeah.
I just like to say things like that.
Exactly. You've been doing your
research. No, I think he's just reciting this fucking Jungian.
You single days, pump and dump.
It took pre-marriage. It took me a while to click with that one. Just listening to your joke rather than thinking about my words. Cryptocurrency.
Pump and dump. I think it's hump anyway.
Not in the financial circles. I don't know what you're talking about, sir. Good day.
You just hear little footsteps going off the door. And shut.
Hey, good podcast. Podcast over. Goodbye.
Oh, man. So have you got, are there any examples that of stuff that, like, has now become a thing that you can, like, that, obviously I'm not saying, like,
preferably lasers if his I'm not sure how you can turn
sharks
that
laser with laser beams on their head.
James likes lasers.
Yeah, what sort of stuff, like, is it, yeah, is there something that you can think of in the last 12 months where you've looked at a white paper and now it's, like, become it's a trading thing?
Well, Binance is probably the biggest sort of example that first comes to mind. They had an ICO, and Binance is an exchange, circular cryptocurrency exchange. So they had an ICO to build the exchange. They sold the Binance token, which is really just a utility token to, you don't necessarily need the token to use the platform, but by holding the Binance token, you get reduced fees. So they're now one of the biggest exchanges, crypto exchanges in the world. So, that's, I mean, probably the first one that comes to mind. But there is a number of them as well.
So in the same way, when they were an ICO, for example, you could buy as many coins, as many of those coins as you wanted. Yeah. So say, you know, assume they were a dollar a coin or whatever.
Yeah.
You could buy. Is there a specific number of them available?
Yeah, they're limited amounts. So I don't know the numbers on that, but let's just say there was a
big... Who makes up that number?
That'll be up to the project.
Okay, so they'll decide that we're going to sell 100 coins for this.
Yeah. So they might generate a billion tokens in their token generation event, mm-hmm. like at the conclusion of the ICO. And during the ICO, then they will sell a percentage of those tokens. So they might, let's say they sell 60%.
Yeah.
So they sell 600 million of those tokens. Yeah. Then the other 400 million are distributed either to the team, to their advisors, as part of their marketing, they mm-hmm. might airdrop some tokens to people that support them early on or, you know, like put posts mm-hmm. up on social media or,
So enough today, the 50th like is going to get a free.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And then, you know, so you pay generally Ethereum, which is a smart contract token.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay your Ethereum and in exchange for that at the completion of the ICO, you'll get your Binance token.
Right. And then, so then the value of that token will increase. The idea would be that as Binance is becoming more and more used, more people want to get on board. So the value of that, the coin you've got from them.
Exactly.
Increases. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. And Binance is cool because they do like a buyback and burn, model as well. So they'll actually buy back Binance tokens from you and they'll burn them. They'll destroy those
so
tokens.
Then that increases the value of the rest of them makes sense
so
you throw the net out as wide as you can to start off to get as many people in at 10 cents.
Yeah,
you buy it back off them for a dollar, so they're thinking like, sweet, I made 90 cents and they burn it and all of a sudden the remaining I understand cryptocurrency now.
You're
getting there.
Well, if there's someone that's brain works like a computer, you don't understand computers very well.
I would if I wanted to.
Yeah, you probably could. Your brain works that way. You probably could. I'll give you credit.
Mm. Now, so the side, are we allowed to talk about your other side business? Your first business?
As in my regular job?
Yeah, that. That's what I call his side business.
Yeah, we can, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, was it through that type of work? Like, is that, has...
Did it give you a particular set of skills?
Yeah, skills that make you a nightmare to... people like them.
To the scammers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you don't want to say it, do you?
Say what?
that I'm a cop.
All of the BJJ people have just like, oh God, Illuminati. No, I didn't want to say it in case you didn't want me. I was just dancing around it.
State good. Sponsored.
Yeah.
Get a tinfoil hat.
That's it. I am a police officer full time. I've taken some leave that I'm using to do the crypto sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it definitely helps. I've got a background in investigations.
So you're essentially doing that.
Investigating crypto is basically it, and using some of the skills that I've used in investigations as far as accessing information that is readily available to the public and intelligence gathering and putting little jigsaw pieces together to formulate a whole picture and then being able to, put that down on paper and into words so that people can
understand
the full picture themselves without having to go in and dig all for that themselves. So, and I suppose the analytical mindset that you need being an investigator certainly does help with the crypto side of stuff as well. And a little bit of skepticism.
So,
it's definitely good. And on top of that, I suppose, 2012, I was involved in a tech startup, building some software for police, to capture digital evidence. So I do have an understanding of that startup space, what it takes to get something off the ground, what, venture capitalists are looking for when they will invest into a startup as well. So I apply that knowledge as well. The combination of the two is quite valuable. I suppose, to be able to assess risk and try and minimise it with any contributions that you make.
So with the, I've got a couple of questions from listening. The exchange.
No, you don't have warrants.
Ah, oh, good. Solved. Question number two.
I already knew I didn't have any.
The exchanges. I know there's some difficulty with how they work and how they're regulated and whether they're not illegal to access, but you can't have it in this jurisdiction and you end up having to do weird things.
Yeah.
Is that a barrier to entry? Or can you explain how that works? Or like, how would someone like me that wanted to get involved?
Yeah.
Is that going to be a headache for me or?
Not at all. No, I suppose, I think the barrier to entry really is knowledge for a lot of people and not being educated and having the knowledge of how to do it.
Yeah.
As far as the regulations and everything go, that's still a grey area.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
very much just figuring it out.
Yeah, exactly. It's also new. Yeah. Everyone's still figuring it out. And because it's not necessarily confined to one jurisdiction, it's a global thing. How do you regulate something that people in every corner of the world are accessing? Like, you really, they'll always be pushing
the new world order. That's how you regulate it.
Now
the rest of the conspiracy theorists have gone.
That's right. Those tinfoil hats, man, they're going to work out.
Bloody Hulk Hogan.
There's someone somewhere at home now just wrapping another layer of tinfoil around it. Get out of my brain.
Oh, I thought crypto was going to get us away from the Illuminati.
The Illuminati invented it.
I think, just to go back to your question, there is some difficulty in that there's so many exchanges. I think my crypto at the moment is spread out. Like the crypto that I'm trading, the majority is in a hardware wallet, but the trading crypto is probably over 6 or 7 exchanges at the moment, and the difficulty is in keeping track of that. And I keep pretty good records, but there's been a few times where I've sort of logged into an old trading account that I've got and gone, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's a nice little surprise.
Yeah.
I forgot that I had that. That's right. I think, I had 2.5 Ethereum in one trading account that I'd forgotten about when Ethereum was like $1,500 per Ethereum, and it's like, oh, shit, that's good. Yeah, the kids are getting new shoes this week.
Because a lot of people's introduction before the Facebook boom was the whole dark web, Silk Road situation.
What's Silk Road?
That's the question I was going to ask. Silk Road, I know Silk Road was confiscated by the FBI somewhere. One of the enforcement agencies in America took all their money and shut them down. Were they an exchange, or were they like the eBay for drugs, or were they kind of a bit of both?
So they're generally the eBay for drugs. Yeah. And
young Jamie's doing a little bit of research as well.
Yeah. So you'll come up with big light, red flashing lights somewhere in Canberra, I reckon.
Yeah, you're on our list now.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Because I know that was the thing at the time. There was the argument on one side, which it was they're not breaking the law. They're just facilitating. And then there's and then there was the tinfoil hats where they're like, oh, they're just trying to shut down.
Yeah,
crypto.
I mean, the darknet was, so there's probably two elements to that. So there's the darknet and then there's the crypto side of things. So the darknet is where they facilitated the transactions for drugs and all sorts of horrible stuff.
So the darknet for our listeners is basically an internet, a second internet that's hard to access, essentially.
Yeah.
According to said internet, the easy to access.
Well, that's what they would say.
Yeah, the Silk Road was an online black market and the first modern day darknet market.
Yeah.
Known as a platform for selling illegal drugs.
So they were the eBay of drugs on internet number two.
Cryptocurrencies, generally Bitcoin, were then used for transactions.
It's anonymous. Transactions.
Exactly.
So, of course, that would be one.
Semi-anonymous.
That would be one. Yeah. Be one of the benefits of that. If that was your so-called impression, employment. There's a word I'm looking for.
progression.
Anyway, we'll get income. Yeah, something along those lines. We'll get there.
Yeah, so I suppose Bitcoin early on got a really sort of
bad name.
Bad name as a result of that. But you know, I've had this conversation with a few people on that.
Yeah.
Like, probably more people buy drugs with fiat currency than what people have ever used Bitcoin to buy drugs.
Yeah. Oh, but that's okay though, because you're using the regular money.
That's right. Yeah. So let's just do away with fiat currency.
It's where with great power comes great responsibility. Like, just because you can.
Yeah.
There's a, I think that was the big thing. When did that, probably about 2014, 2015?
Yeah.
Is that there was a big push or a big, I suppose, fear.
2007 Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, but back in Spider-Man 2, but there was no one could really conceptualize, or no one really had thought or could visualize a legitimate purpose for cryptocurrency back then, in my opinion. Like, there was people that thought about it and go, it could get to this stage.
Yeah.
But back then, it was predominantly being used for naughty boy things.
Yeah.
And naughty girls. Girls can be naughty too. It's 2018. But
and people that don't associate with a gender, because gender is non-binary.
Oh, shit. Let's see that for another day. But there's obviously a lot more legitimate uses for it now. Although those ideas have eventuated into things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That makes me, I thought Silk Road was an exchange, so I was obviously wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're still recording.
Yeah.
Was that two? Me doing something better than you and you being wrong? In one conversation?
Mate, I'm fully happy to admit when I'm wrong, and I'm fully happy to admit when you're something right. Unfortunately for you, it doesn't happen very often. Mate.
Doing it.
Okay.
There we go.
Yeah, I reckon a cloud went over something because...
Yeah,
something's going on with my eyes.
Oh no, it's because I googled Silk Road. They're what, like, they've moved the satellite
over. The moon's moved. The moon doesn't exist.
Put your tin hat on.
Yeah, another layer of that foot.
Yeah, just hear rustling in the corner. Jerry's there, like, just mummified himself.
Yeah.
Get out of my brain, you assholes.
Yeah.
do you have any more questions? Because things are hitting that point where they're starting to derail.
We've
sat down for a long period of time.
Yeah, trolls.
I kind of already asked that question. That was like the social media people poo-pooing the whole thing.
Yeah, law enforcement.
Oh, I've got one for you, and this is just anecdotal. I don't really have a question attached to it. But there was a website set up. It was Ponzi Coin.
Yeah.
And it was a joke, but it was a very well put together joke.
Yeah.
The theory behind it, or the plan behind it, was it was a coin offering that literally was just a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
And you scrolled, like, it did the rounds, but I got it pretty early on. And I'm like, I was thinking to myself, I think I could invest in this because I'm getting in early. And I could make some money off of this. But are there a lot of scam ones, or are there a lot of ones that, that was a tongue-in-cheek. Like, the person who created that was doing it to almost prove a point.
Yeah, yeah.
But is there a lot of...
There is.
...pump and dumping?
Yeah, so...
back to his old pump and dump days.
He just wanted to say pump and dump.
I like to say catchphrases.
Yeah.
sure.
Wubba-dubba-dub-dub.
I think probably the most famous one in recent times was probably BitConnect, which was a straight-out Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
But it was pretty much like, you sign up people to this Ponzi scheme, you'll get a cut of whatever, and like, it's just straight-out pyramid scheme, which has now been shut down. But as far as scams and stuff go, like, there's all sorts of stories about, you know, like, I've found fake profile photos on their website.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're using Instagram models as, like, community managers, like, the photos of Instagram models as community managers.
That's silly. If you're an IT company, pick someone that's not that good looking.
Exactly.
Why is your IT manager really hot?
Yeah.
Wash in a bikini on a beach.
Yeah. Why is she in a G-string with fake boobs?
Yeah. Not to say that there couldn't be an account manager, but just probably not likely.
Yeah, but that should be encouraged anyway. But so all sorts of stuff there. And that's why I suppose the research is so important to be able to identify that. And there was another guy that, won't
name names because I've already been threatened to be sued a number of times, but
Philip.
He's basically had an ICO that he was running, ended up stealing 600 Bitcoin. Well, it ended up being that it was just like millions and millions of dollars.
His name rhymes with Dark Zuckerberg.
No, not that.
Yeah. Mike, you'd already be sued if I was.
Yeah. You wouldn't be here.
Don't use my full name. No, but so he stole millions and millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin from his early investors and then just like disappeared.
Yeah.
Or actually, no, sorry, he said that he got hacked.
Yeah.
When in fact, I'm pretty sure it's been proven that he hasn't, but the allegations are that.
Yeah.
He didn't get hacked.
Yeah.
But then he popped up then and like was basically rejuvenating the whole thing, like trying to raise some more money. And it's like, nah, I don't think so. So, and you know, some quick checks soon showed that it was like a massive scam and people were exiting the company and coming back in, and the offices that they had were not like, I think they had like a freaking Vietnamese roll shop there that they said they were running their offices from or something stupid like that. You know? Yeah. And just like.
So this is someone local?
No, not local. No, this is overseas. Yeah.
But he's threatened to sue you.
Not them.
Oh, okay.
No, not him. Jesus. But, yeah, there's been other companies that that's all sorted out.
So if you're like, final thought with it, they used to say it's like the Wild West.
It is.
It sounds like it's cleaned up. Like, it doesn't seem like it's quite as bad as I picture the Wild West. But the Wild West to me kind of seems like you could do your best and you could still get fucked over. Whereas it seems like if you keep your wits about you and you know what you're talking about, the risk is quite low.
Isn't that the Wild, Wild West?
I think of Wild West and like someone just shoots you in the bum for no reason. I didn't watch many westerns as a kid. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know what you've been watching. I'm dumb shooting in the bum. Like.
Yeah, what are you watching?
Wild, Wild West.
Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah. Casting Couch.
Yeah. No, I think it's still. Suede Couch
edition.
I think it still is the Wild West.
Yeah.
I mean, there's instances all the time of people sending like phishing emails.
Yeah.
Like purporting to be a project that is raising money when really they've just set up a fake account.
It seems easier to set up a MailChimp account than it is to set up a coin.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have like a contribution address and say you've got 24 hours to contribute at a 50% bonus and your opportunity is closing, rah, rah, and you know, if people FOMO, like fear of missing out into that, then they might quickly send some Ethereum to them and they only need 10 people to send, you know, like 2 Ethereum each. They made 20 Ethereum and when Ethereum was like $1,500, there's like 30 grand. And that's not a bad day's work for anyone.
For pushing send on a bulk email.
Exactly, that's right. And they just send those bulk emails out. They might send out 10,000 thinking, if we get
0.001% strike rate. Yeah.
Exactly. If we get 10 people that are FOMO'd in, then we've made our money for the day.
Well,
it's like the ones that they used to do the scams. Like when I worked at the bank, we had people come in and do like a couple elderly people in particular. They'd come in and be like, oh, I've got to send a check for $4 to this fucking Christ knows where. Or like they were always for like not a huge amount, but you'd come in, I need like 8 checks, and you'd be like, are you sure? Because I'm positive this is not true. Like they're like, oh, you've won a lottery, send us $7 and we'll send you a million. It's like I can't tell you that I can't not print this check for you to send, but don't come back in next week and try and cancel them all because they're bank checks. And it's going to cost you more money than the check is worth to do that.
Exactly.
But it's basically just the online version of that, by the sounds of it.
And where there's lots of money getting thrown around, there's always going to be scammers. Mm. And there's lots of money in crypto at the moment, so there's scammers. Got to be careful.
Watch your P's and Q's. Exactly. I know that they purposely keep them a little bit basic. so they can catch them all. Like if you're going to fall for it, they want the gullible people. So, yeah. You know, people always say, oh, that's obvious, that scam. And it's like, well, yeah, because they don't want you. They want the person that's not obvious to you, because that's the person that's going to follow step two and send back the money.
Yeah. And they'll pick the most popular ICOs that are like really hard to get into. They're closing soon and build that whole hype and the FOMO, and it's like, oh shit, I've got to get in and, you know, like quickly plug in your ledger or whatever and send off your ETH and not even think about it. But
it's human psychology. Like, I've been close a few times to writing back to an email. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, like let's look at the right click and see where this email address really is. I'm like, oh, what an idiot. Yeah. This isn't Apple.
Yeah.
But it's getting harder and harder to tell the difference between legitimate ones and illegitimate ones.
Yeah.
And it's coming to the point now where businesses essentially can't interact with people over certain.
Oh, well, channels. I nearly got, like, literally for the first time ever, because I generally just, ones? The text message, it's like, oh, because I've got a, you know, Woolworths Rewards thing, and the text message comes from Woolworths. So I was like, and it's like, oh, you know, click this link to get your voucher. And I was like, this doesn't, like, every part of me is saying there's something wrong
with
it. And then you click, like, I clicked it, and it just went to, like, you know, enter your details. I'm like, nah, you've contacted me.
Large business, in theory, large businesses all generally have the policy that they won't contact you via that channel. But then, I've seen big businesses do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they break their own rules because I've got the best idea. We're gonna jump up publicity with all these little emails, and then that person gets slapped.
Yeah, idiot. Cool.
Where can people? So you said groups before. Are they publicly available groups, or do you have some publicly available people can follow you?
Generally, they're just private invite groups. Yep. So probably if people want to follow me on Instagram, just Jerry Lee, LEE_BB.
Yeah.
And then you can get,
You should have led with that. Never like more.
Or Bitcoin Boy. Bitboy.
Blockchain Battalion. So, and I
have you thought about changing it to Bad Boy?
No.
Bad Boy Blockchain Battalion.
BB.
So yeah, if you follow Jerry Lee_BB on Instagram, then you'll get access to other channels as well. Medium is where I post a lot of my reviews and stuff. So, same thing, Jerry Lee_BB on Medium.
I'll get you to send them all, like send it to me, and I'll put it in the link and everything so people can jump on where they want to dive in.
For sure.
All right, here we go. Yeah, this will be good. I can see his face. This will be good. Yeah.
What shall I invest in this week? Hot tips. And Jerry's tip of the week becomes a new thing.
We just spent an hour and 15 minutes talking about how you should really get educated. You should really know what you're talking
about. Not interested in that. I want to take risk. I want to know how to do it. Can't use eToro because neither of us know how to use
it. I want a one-word answer to my question, please.
Yeah.
This is not financial advice, because I don't give financial advice, but
it's general in nature.
General in nature.
You might want to look into.
Yeah, I would probably look into a project called Mainframe. Basically, it's like a decentralized private messaging service on the blockchain. And really good. They just had their ICO. Well, they actually didn't end up having a public ICO, but they are quite cheap at the moment, and it's a really good project with a really good team. So, Mainframe.
I'm going to look at that before I publish this. I'm like, I'm going to chuck $50 on black.
Oh, and for the morons playing along at home, how do you trade in? Like, I assume you can download like an app or there are platforms that you can use. Are there some? Like, those are the exchanges, I presume, I imagine. And, it does make sense now because people can see me. I'm not telling you to go and do this. I'm just asking for the sake of conversation. Like, how would you, like, do you buy Ether? Like, you
generally.
Yeah. And then you use the ether to try. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you.
Yeah, because you.
Because we're on the podcast and you finally pepped up and started asking questions. Where were you 45 minutes ago?
I'm learning.
I like how he let in with that question too. It was like a big thing right up in the air. Like, oh, no, I've got a thought.
Like, we should have played you the podcast before you
said that. Can't play me the podcast because I'm in it, you idiot.
Podcast 2, James pepped up.
Podcast Inception. So you download like an app or an exchange.
Yeah.
You would use whatever currency you want to buy ether.
Yeah.
From that exchange, or you would like where do you buy ether from?
So there's a number of different platforms to be able to do that. So Coinbase is probably the most common one.
Yep.
But they limit initially amount that you're able to put in there.
That's good because I don't want to put much in.
No. So up to $250, I think, until you build up like a history. Or
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Morons, we're not going to let you spend too much money because you might be a moron.
Yeah, exactly. So you can buy Ethereum, Bitcoin, Litecoin, I think, on there. And then you just transfer that from Coinbase onto an exchange.
Right.
And, yeah, trade against... So there's a number of different currencies that you can pair for your trades. Ethereum and Bitcoin are generally the most common ones. On Binance, you can trade against the Binance token as a pair. And really, there's not many that you have as apps. They're just like desktop systems that you can access to be able to trade. So, but I mean, I'll give you the links as well that people will be able to.
Have a look at it.
Have a look at it and...
as soon as we get our phones, the first thing I'm doing is playing. Yeah, I'm putting $50 in.
I'm going to get my laptop out of the car.
Yeah. And I'm building a Udemy course at the moment as well. So once it's up and running, I'll let you know that.
You'll get one viewer because I'll watch it.
Cool.
Cheers. Thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah. Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's see if this recorded.